Five, four, three, two, one. I'm John Miglosh for the WDMA. And we're going to be talking about marketing today. Yes, we are. Okay, so let's start with Tom Fishburne. Marketing math. Our campaign is such a success. Why is the CFO so grumpy? This marketer thinks that impressions equal revenue. And the CFO is probably compensated on revenue growth. The CEO certainly is. The next marketer, I found a quote on social media that captures what people think about our brand. Where the marketer believes that one equals everyone. Just find one good quote, you're all set. The data shows brand awareness higher when our team offsite is in Aruba. Correlation equals causation. So you send the marketing team to a tropical paradise and the results go up. It must have been the cause. We came up with a metric called brand vibes, and by that metric, we're doing great. X equals whatever you want. Okay, so marketers learning to speak the language of CFO has been a running theme in my cartoons over the years. Even as marketing has become more data-driven, which I think is a bunch of bunk, science isn't data-driven. Science is experimentation, hypothesis, and theory-driven. It's not the same. Just because you have data doesn't mean you've proven anything. There's still a gap between marketing and the rest of the organization, right? They create their own language, the marketers. Last year, MasterCard CMO Raja Raja brought his CFO to the Cannes Lions to give a joint talk on the dysfunctional CMO-CFO relationship and how to bridge the gap. Okay, this insight from Raja in particular resonated with me. It's shocking that less than 40% of the finance people think that marketers can make sound commercial decisions. So the CFOs, the finance people, think that marketers don't have any basis for their decision making, which may be true. Sometimes it is true. Many times we don't do our own due diligence, our own diligence properly as marketers. Oh, now this guy's the CMO. No. This guy is the C, MasterCard. This guy is the C. Yeah, this guy's the CMO. But he brought along his CFO who told him, we don't think you can make decent decisions. And then he says, goes on to say, many times we don't do our own diligence properly as marketers. Right. When we've been given the responsibility by the company, we have an accountability to demonstrate the results that we are driving. And too often, they don't even know how to show incremental gain. We need to connect the dots between marketing actions and business outcomes. And the only way to do that is by careful split testing. We're going to get to that a little later, just what that means. Not just in terms of marketing metrics, but often we don't connect them because many times we don't even care to measure. As I said last week, it's much more fun to just have an opinion and build a catchy ad campaign than it is to actually show that your catchy ad campaign is better than the one that some genius came up with 25 years ago and is still churning out results. Who wants to be proven wrong? And if we can get away with it, why would we want to measure? Or better yet, to test. Measurement isn't that valuable either. Unless you can show incremental gain, and you can really only do that by careful experimentation. You've got to compare on the same day, in the same universe. You've got to compare what is, that's the control, with what could be, which is the test. Connecting the dots between marketing actions and business outcomes is the most fundamental part of the marketing job. Not one of the. It is it. That's. You want a bigger budget? show somebody that you can take a dollar and shove it in a little marketing box and out jump three more dollars. If you can do that, they won't shut down your department, and they probably won't fire you right away until they sell the company, and then they probably will because you've multiplied the valuation. We won't get into that right now. Okay, so here's some other marketing dashboard, 2018. Vanity metric that has nothing to do with sales, like send the marketing team to Aruba, or marketing satisfaction with their work environment, or some goofball thing. Graph that doesn't match any other department's numbers. Yeah. Deluxe Check hired me. We spent 2 days trying to match up the marketing numbers, and it turned out that marketing was not wrong, but they were looking at numbers in a particular way to maximize their compensation plan, which is not uncommon, even more so with sales. Chart that hasn't been updated lately. A really pretty map. Maps are hard to make money with. I love maps, but no idea what this is or what to do with it. I know what it is. I mean, it shows like market share and some other two other variables. The bigger the circle, the bigger the company, sort of, or the bigger the impact. Okay, what's the marketing ROI? What's the ROI of our marketing? Why do CFOs always ask that? ROI is not the best metric. It's too short-term focused. There are attribution issues. It doesn't capture the indirect revenue. What should we look at instead? Random comments I find on social media. Here's an even better one. The ROI of marketing, August 2018. What's the ROI of our marketing? There's increased brand awareness and brand affinity and brand sentiment and brand engagement and brand vibe. That was from earlier today. How about terms I can understand, like EBITDA, which is basically the bottom line net profit without worrying about taxes and interest payments and things like that. And the marketing guy says, it sounds like you just made that up. Oh my gosh, that guy should be fired instantly. But not only have only 40% of marketers had marketing training, but almost none of them have accounting training. I think you'd be better off trying to teach marketing to an accountant, and you know, if they had a little idea of opportunity costs, than the other way around. Here's a good one. Why do you get that look every time we ask you about the ROI? Deer in the headlights look. Okay. And let's give marketing a seat at the table. The leadership team agreed that marketing should have a seat at the table. It's a little high chair. Yeah, that's about right. Okay, so that's enough of that for Tom. Thank you for that. Okay, fancy, this is from Jeff Terran. Fancy use of print from R.R. Donnelly and marketing charts. Lots of charts, but it's hard to pull those out of there. I'll give you a copy of the print impact report for Q1 2024. But Jeff pulls out this summary. 62% say that personalizing print materials, they are personalizing them, which oftentimes means no more than putting an address on them. So I don't know, the fact that they say they do it doesn't mean a thing to me. Is RFM personalization, sort of? Customer segmentation? Yeah, I guess so. You know, geodemographic variables, sure. You know, as a pioneer in machine learning for 25 years and thousands of models, it's getting to be 35 years, but we're not doing it as much anymore because you can have AI do it for free. Never mind, I would beat the crap out of it. But, you know, why pay me tens of thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars just to show you what actually means something? Let's let the AI do it. And when it doesn't work, we can blame the AI. Okay, that's fine. Anyway, print is largely here. About half of print marketers see the combination of digital primary and print secondary. Now, it's better than nothing. That is better than nothing. But what marketers, of course, they don't realize this because they don't know how to do testing. They may know how to do measurement, but measurement without testing is like, you know, is like a fish without a bicycle. And so they know that they can easily buy digital advertising. It's not hard. They don't necessarily know who it's getting shown to. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But they can do it, right? And so if print, if digital gets a reaction, maybe we should mail them something. And that makes a little bit of sense. But the truth is that print is much more likely to get a reaction that's measurable, testable, and can then tell you why it's working. You know, so the Lovesack case, you know, go on my digital archive on my video archive on YouTube and put in Lovesack and you'll get the case study in there. And in there, what I showed them when I first showed them that their little catalog was generating a 300% EBITDA ROI to the CMO or the VP of marketing, but the CFO was also, he and I talked regularly. And so when they saw that, they said, well, maybe we should keep doing it. And when we realized that what was really happening with the little catalog was it was getting passed along to friends and neighbors. And for every one repeat order we got from the customers, we got two new customer orders. You know, then we really went to town. Then we realized we could actually prospect with mail. And we mainly used postcards to drive store traffic. And what I showed them how we could do was test headlines. They had four major highlights or benefits that they talked about. One of which, it turned out in testing, drove more traffic than the other three put together. Well, that then was that information then changed their television for driving traffic to the stores. It changed their digital. It changed their website. So concrete knowledge from mail drove the digital fluff, if you will. And then when people would actually visit the website, then we used retargeting by mail from LS Direct. Brian Dillette set this up. He was one of the pioneers in that. So they were then mailing to the people that had come visited, the anonymous visitors that the television ads and such would bring. And in the years we worked with them, which was just three short years, they went from $50 million in sales to $100 million in sales. This is revenue, total sales, not EBITDA or anything like that. And they went public, which, you know, got us fired. As I said, when you multiply the valuation dramatically, that probably multiplied it, I don't know, 30 times or something, what it would have been at $50 million with really slow growth. Instead, it went double the company in three years. Not bad. And the last year, they went from $75 million to $100 million. The first 2 years, we had pretty normal growth that they'd been having for a long time, mainly by opening stores. This was not by opening stores. That's the really amazing part of it. So digital is great, but you can, wouldn't you rather know something for sure and then do the fluff digital? It's impossible to track because we can track mail with matchback testing. We can track mail. We know who we mailed. We know it got delivered. We know it went to a decision maker. We know they had to make a decision because mail doesn't throw itself away. And we know, therefore, not only who bought, but who engaged and decided not to buy. And that gives us the labeled data set. Like IBM needed to teach Watson to play Jeopardy, they had 127,000 Jeopardy questions. So they knew when Watson got some right, and they knew when it got some wrong. It always knew the percentage of right and wrong. But with digital advertising, you don't know who sees it, mostly. Most people don't. Or with mass media, you don't know who's got the television turned on. You know, and I know there's some tweaks around the edges, but, you know, it hasn't quite finished yet. It's not with the solid knowledge that you get from mail. We know that it got there. We know who looked at it. And we know who decided to buy versus who didn't. And that lets us drive machine learning and AI, if you want. We have a better data set than any other medium. No other medium gives you that. And that's why mail should be the foundation, not the tag-along triggered event. You've got the cart before the horse, and R.R. Donnelly should know better. Okay, so anyway, there's some nice comments down here by the experts. I didn't see anything that was really expert. It was a lot of fluff about integration and omnichannel marketing, their omnichannel approach. Yeah. That's not going to take your company from 50 to 100 million in 3 years. Omnichannel. Let's just do more of the confusion that we already created with digital. It's insanity. Okay, that's from Stephanie Cortez. Here's Margot Yoner. A lot of comments. I didn't see anything that was really earth-shattering. Jeff Fontner, I'm just mentioning their names. Ken Gammon, I reached out to and sent a connection request, so I hope he turns up because I have some specific questions. Okay, so here is, and that in the print report, I'll put in the show notes, available at WDMA. They put in JavaScript so you can see the percentages, but you can't see the little bars because those dynamically build. It's kind of dumb. I wish they would give me an ability to download a real decent PDF, but they don't. Anyway, why would they? They're a printer. Somebody's jinging up their website so that nobody can know what the report says. Dumb. Dumb with a capital B. Rhymes with mud. Anyway, daily customer increase for a food delivery company using paid search advertising in the A-B split. Now, this is an excellent article by Craig Huey. I was hoping that what he was going to talk about in paid search was that, you know, if you know who you're really after, like you have a mailing list of customers, most people don't even know this. You can upload your mailing list of physical addresses up to Google Ad Network, or up to Facebook, and they will guarantee, I guess, that they show your ad to those people eventually, somehow, in their news feed or whatever. So you can now, you know, whether they're paying attention in the midst of their cluttered screen and all that, when they're really looking for their grandkids, you know, picture, birthday pictures, who knows? So it's not as good as mail because digital does throw itself away. I want you to see that distinction. Okay. But that's not what Craig talked about. He mainly talked about the A-B split where you can, in digital, you can have Facebook show alternating headlines to whoever it's showing it to. You won't know who saw it. You won't know if they're really homogenous. You won't know a lot of things. But you can keep track of the clicks. Now, are clicks the same as sales? No. And if your sales are delivered on your shopping cart, on your homepage, you won't know for sure what's going on in terms of EBITDA. So it's not as good as mail, but he's right. You could do that. It's an excellent article. And we're out of time. I didn't see any comments, so shame on you all. But if you like and share the video, you can watch the replay, and your friends will know you're smart. Have a great day. Bye-bye.